You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Last week, we started our We Are the Church series, and our line for last week as we opened up the series was, we are the church, so we give up our rights, and meaning just to lay our personal preferences aside for the sake of reaching one more. And it was a great sermon last week. If you were not here, I encourage you to check out our Facebook page and take a listen to that. But today, we are going to talk about we are the church, so let's be invested in using the gifts God has given you to make our church a better place. And another way, if you've been with us a long time, another way you've probably heard this said, especially in our membership class, is we are the church, so we pick up our ministry. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, so use them well to serve one another. And it kind of goes right in line with our vision statement here as a church. And our vision statement is to be this, to be a healthy, multiplying church known for making an impact in our community and our world. So when we use our gifts, and especially when we use our spiritual gifts that we've been given, it helps us be a healthy, multiplying church known for making an impact in our community and in our world. So just like last week, Pastor Ben had a question that he asked the crowd, and I want to ask you a question too, and we're going to have mics ready for you, and I want to ask you a question. I'm looking for just a few answers, but the question I want to ask you this morning is, how do you see people using their gifts here at the Gateway Church? And raise your hand, and we'll have a mic come up to you, but how do you see people using their gifts here at the Gateway Church?
My man over there, Tony, who's using that microphone right now, this was his first week on the worship team, and so it was really cool seeing him using his gifts, and so highlighting him because he's still serving, so yeah. I think that's a great example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a couple hands, yeah.
Pastor Sean teaching about God, that's a good gift.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, there you go.
The people behind us running the
sound and tech.
Yeah, give it up for them. That's awesome. Any other? Yeah, sound and tech. Those are helping us be a healthy church for sure. Anyone else?
I think people using their gift of servants, shoveling snow.
Yeah.
And greeting people here. You see that gift every Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Where was Larry? Is Larry in here? No, he was out there shoveling snow this morning. That was being a really good servant. And then he was mopping the floor just to clean up the floor. That was awesome. Maybe one more, if we have one more.
Bunch of people back here are saying, go serve.
Go serve. Amen. Yes, that is a powerful. So do me a favor. You guys can be seated. Everybody repeat this after me. We are the church, so we pick up our ministry. We do hard things as a church, and every week at our church, we have people who use their spiritual gifts that they've been given here in all ministries, from people who greet, from worship team to sound and tech, kids ministry. Right now, we have workers back there. They're using their gifts to teach our kids. We have youth ministry on Wednesday nights, and we have leaders who serve there every Wednesday. We have men's ministry. Just yesterday, there was a men's breakfast, and people were making food for that breakfast, and using their gifts there. We have a women's ministry. All have people using their gifts to help others reach Jesus, and it's such a powerful thing. And here are a few stories of recent stories that I've even heard from GoServe as well. We had Jeanette Moore. She goes to the bus station in Muskegon and looks for people to hang out with, and then gives them items from GoServe, and she has so many testimonies of praying for people and just seeing people come to know Jesus. It's a really powerful thing that she's doing there. Also, we have Amy Richards. Not only does she help in the women's ministry, but also in the past, she's been on Facebook pages and just different groups and has seen people who had needs and then goes on GoServe, grabs those items, meets them, and then prays for them. And it's just, again, another powerful thing that we're seeing here at the Gateway Church of people using their gifts, not only in the church to serve at even things like GoServe, but we're seeing it go beyond the church as well. I know of people who are connected to their office spaces that look for things on GoServe and give those away. And GoServe is just one way you can get involved and use gifts here at the church. We even just talked about Tony on the worship team as well as others on the worship team. It's such a powerful thing. Every week we have volunteers in all areas and you're using your gifts. That is a gift that we see. It's just allowing the mission of God to be furthered. And something you see even in our volunteer handbook, just a little phrase here, it says when a person becomes part of the ministry team here at the Gateway Church, they are not only accepting the volunteer role in ministry here, but they're committing to the mission and vision of our church. By doing so, you're using your gifts to glorify God. You're using your gifts to connect to God, to connect to others, to connect to the world by reaching one more. And it's making a giant impact in our community and helping us be a healthy church. So we are the church. We want to be invested in using the gifts God has given us to make our church a better place. And so you may be asking, what are some of the gifts that you have? You may be in this room today and you're being like, I don't even know what gifts I have. Or maybe you're in this room today and you know what gifts you have, but you're like, I don't know how I'm using them. Or you just have some questions around spiritual gifts this morning. So first off, I want to define spiritual gifts. And this message is going to be more of a teaching and yet challenge, I think, at the same time. One scholar defines it this way, Jeremy Kimball. He said, spiritual gifts are abilities given to individual believers by the Holy Spirit in order to equip God's people for ministry, both for the edification of the church and God's salvific mission to the world. So not only can you use spiritual gifts within the church, which I think we see every single week, but you can use spiritual gifts in your workplace, your school, wherever you are, to see the mission of God forward. But where do you see spiritual gifts even in the Bible? In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To the one person, the spiritual gift, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives a great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So right there you read there are many spiritual gifts that we just read about, and they all bring glory to Christ. And they never oppose him. God gave you spiritual gifts so you could serve him through your church in the everyday life. But what happens if we ignore spiritual gifts? And I'd say one aspect of maybe ignoring spiritual gifts or even gifts that you feel like you have would be, I think you could experience stagnant Christianity. Peter Wagner, an author of Spiritual Gifts book, wrote in this way in regards to ignorance of spiritual gifts. He said, ignorance of spiritual gifts might be seen as relatively a trivial matter. If the current trend were toward a better understanding of the gifts in our church across the board, such, however, does not appear to be the case. One of our most respected church researchers, George Barna, did a study of Christians as their spiritual gifts over a five-year period. His research shows that the trend is, in fact, just the opposite. In 1995, which is 30 years ago now, which is crazy, Barna found that only 4% of born-again adults in America did not believe that God had given them a spiritual gift. Not a bad percentage in his opinion. However, by 2000, so just 5 years later, that had gone up 21%. Five times the number. I would hope the percentage in your church is better than that. I hope by the time you finish this book and apply biblical teachings to the congregation, 100% of your members will know that they have a spiritual gift and that most of them can identify their spiritual gift by name. So if you were in this room today, I would ask you the same question. Can you identify your spiritual gift? Can you identify it by name? I would say here at the Gateway Church, we want to be a place where you can use your spiritual gifts. We want to be a place where you can grow. We want you to know that you have a gift and you can use it. But today, I don't necessarily want to focus on each gift and define each gift and how each one works. But what I do want to focus on are three statements is discovering, developing, and deploying your gift. In the Gateway Youth, we have this event called Fine Arts. It's a wonderful event where kids across the state go to one area, and their mission in Fine Arts is to discover, develop, and deploy. And I want to look at the spiritual gifts through the lens of that this morning. So let's talk discover. We want you to be able to discover your gift with clarity. Scripture provides, I think, multiple examples of gifts God deposits within us. And if you're taking notes, you can write these down, these passages down. I'm not necessarily going to read all of these. We just read one of them in 1 Corinthians 12, but you have Romans 12, Exodus 35, and as well as passages where it can describe spiritual gifts. But when you look at those, you'll see spiritual gifts such as craftsmanship, designing, serving, teaching, giving, leading, faith, mercy, discernment, healing, miracles, and words of wisdom, just to name a few. But again, for the sake of time today, I'm not going to define all those, but what I am going to say is this, is we have a class called Get Connected, and in that class, you take a spiritual gifts test. Now, I'll say this, it's a man-made test. It's a test that hopefully just steers you in the right direction, but it's a great test, and I would say that would be a next step for you to discovering maybe some gifts, spiritual gifts that you have in your life. And I would encourage you, it's a great class to take. Actually, we have it today following this service, but if that doesn't work for you, we have them come up several times a year. And I think you will walk away from that class with the beginning stages of what it looks like to discover that gift. But that's discover, so let's talk develop. So we want to discover our gift with clarity, and we have a next step for you to be able to hopefully do that. But then we want to develop our gift to its capacity. And I would say develop means to grow or cause something to grow and maybe even become more mature. In Romans 12, 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Paul is writing that, and I think what he's saying here is to develop your gift, don't just sit on it. When you, like he said, if God has given you the leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. He's saying we need to develop our gift, not just sit on it. So when you discover your gift, now it's time to develop that gift. You know, something I like to do is I like to work out. And part of working out is you lift weights, and lifting weights sometimes can put you in uncomfortable moments. And I place myself in those uncomfortable moments because I want to build my cardiovascular health. I want to build my strength health. I want to build these things and develop them in my life and place myself underneath those uncomfortable moments. But when we use our spiritual gifts and we begin to develop them, sometimes we're going to be placed in an uncomfortable moment. We're going to be placed in a situation where we are required to grow in this gift. How many of you guys know sometimes you just don't get, you are not perfect at something when you first do it? Sometimes it's going to place us in an uncomfortable spot, but we're going to develop. Using your spiritual gifts helps you develop in your walk with Christ. But also, our gifts will be developed when we just begin to practice them and use them. You know, a lot of times what happens with gifts is we want praise for our gift, but we don't want to develop our gift. We don't want to pay the price in developing what that gift looks like in our life. So then the question is, if we don't want to pay the price of what it looks like to develop and grow in our faith, then is it possible then we're becoming spiritually dull, or what the writer of Hebrews says, he says spiritually dull, but then it also could be referred to as spiritually lazy. If we don't want to grow in our faith, then are we just being lazy? And in the book of Hebrews, he kind of gives us a strong warning. He says in Hebrews, at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of 6, he says there's much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about the Word of God. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, an instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. So right here, we have this comparison versus baby Christians versus mature Christians, and he kind of gives us this list that baby Christians are followers who are continually taught the basic things of Christianity. James even says, don't be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. But then that list would go on to say, baby Christians, if you're early in your walk with Christ, here are some things that you should be doing. You should be sharing your faith. You should be praying. But you might have the ability to disciple others. You keep going back instead of going forward, and you don't know how to use the Word of God. That's just a short list of maybe that's what baby Christians do. But then he goes on, but mature Christians are ones who are developing. They continue the word, continue to learn the word, the prayer, the discipleship. They're ones who are moving forward. And even in verse 6, at the 6, 4, and 5, you can see they have shared in the Holy Spirit. And part of sharing in the Holy Spirit is using spiritual gifts that God gives. So when you begin developing your gifts, it's not going to be perfect in the beginning, but it's also not going to look like the person next to you, but it's going to look like how God created you to use it. You know, how many coffee lovers do I have in here today? Lots of it. Yeah, I love it. I probably had about 4 cups this morning. And so, but there's many ways in which you can brew coffee, right? You have espresso, you have a Chemex, you have a pour over, you have what we have out in the lobby this morning. There are many ways that you can have a cup of coffee, but all these pretty much have the same outcome. It's going to be a cup of coffee. It's going to get that caffeine in you, right? But the brewing method is a little different. The taste of coffee might even be a little different based on the way it's brewed. And so, meaning that the way we have a spiritual gift in our life, it's going to be different than the person next to you. But the outcome is going to be the same. The mission is going to be the same. It's going to edify the church, and it's going to reach others for Jesus. So when we use our spiritual gift and we use what we feel like God has given us, then it's going to benefit other people. The benefit of you developing your gift is that, one, you're going to grow. You're going to grow as a follower of Christ because you're developing the gift that God has given you. But you're also going to see that everyone around you is going to grow because you're using your gift. But then you're also going to see that God is glorified. So what we need to constantly remind ourselves is we are the person that God wants to use. And we just need to stay connected to Him. That when we stay connected to God, then he's the one that's going to deposit the gift in us. And then when we discover that gift and we begin to develop it, then you're going to grow, everyone else is going to grow, and God is going to be glorified. I'm always amazed that when somebody steps into a volunteer role, that they say that's the best decision that they could ever made in reference to growth. Because they grow as a Christian, it requires them to, or places them in a position where they're growing. And it's such a powerful thing. So again, a couple ways you can develop your gift is one, to stay connected to God. Get connected into the church, I'd say. If you've been on the sideline waiting, I'd say it's time for you to put yourself in the game. If your heart is beating in this room, then guess what? Your time is not done yet. God still wants to use you. But I'd also say, I think sometimes one of the things that hold us back is the third mindset right here, is that we're afraid to fail. Can I say it's better to step out and try and than to say I'm going to fail? That you don't need to be afraid to fail, that failing by trying is way better than not trying at all. So we have discover, which I'd say your next best step is to take, get connected, and find out how you can use your gift here at the Gateway Church, but also see how your gift can be used in your everyday life. And then we have develop. We have developing your gift as I think is a mark of a mature Christian. Not only are you going to be sharing your faith, praying, and reading the word, but you're going to be developing a gift that God has given you. Let's say your next step is to get involved in maybe a ministry here at the Gateway Church, or talk to somebody and see how you can use that gift, but then also learn how you can use that gift to further God's mission in your everyday life. And I'll say this, your gift can be used outside of the church in all areas of your life. I've said that before, but the way we may present ourselves, if we're lazy at work, but yet we say we have a spiritual gift, it may come off the wrong way if we say, hey, I'm going to use my gift of service, but I'm going to be lazy about it. That's not what Paul was saying in Romans 12. He's saying, serve others, but serve others well. So we need to use our gift well. And then, so you have discover, you have develop, and now you have deploy. So we want to discover our gift with clarity, then we want to develop our gift to its capacity, but then we want to deploy our gift, but we want to deploy it with humility. One of the definitions of deploy, when you looked it up, was move. You see, we aren't meant to sit on our gifts, we are meant to move in our gifts. Too often we wonder why we may be stagnant in our faith, and I think it's because we've decided to sit rather than move. When you read stories, even in the book of Acts, it wasn't them sitting on their faith. Every time they were moving in their faith and teaching and preaching and praying for people, they were not just sitting and saying, oh, God, I will move when you tell me to move. What if God's already told you to move and you just got to be obedient to it? God intends for us not only to use our gifts, but to do so out of the spirit of humility. Going back to 1 Peter 10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Even in verse 11, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Notice Peter makes an assumption in this passage and gives instruction in this passage. First, he assumes that every person that he's writing to has a gift. He didn't say, if you have a gift. He said, whatever gift you have received. Peter assumed God gifts to every person. That is huge, because you may have the mindset in this room today is, I don't have a gift. I don't know what gift it is. I don't have anything to offer. But I would say it's clear from this passage alone that you are gifted, that you have something to offer. Second, he gives instruction to serve others so that God may be praised. So God wants us to deploy our gifts to serve others and bring God praise. You see, we don't serve others so that we get all the credit. We serve others so that God gets the credit. Worship team, you can go ahead and come on up. What I love about this idea of gifts and serving others and God getting the praise is we kind of see that across a lot of different examples in the Bible. But I want to bring one to our attention this morning in Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to summarize it. We went over it on Wednesday night, and I was like, man, it's so fitting for this morning as well. But I want to see, I want you to kind of hear the summarization of this story, how it can, your gift can make an impact. And just to summarize the story, Paul and Barnabas, they were worshiping and they were fasting. And people around them prayed for them, and the Holy Spirit sent them off on their first missionary journey. And they were traveling across many different areas, but they landed on this area called Paphos, and there was a governor, and there was a sorcerer there, Elymas. And what happened was Paul and Barnabas, because they had been teaching the word of God, and notice how teaching is a gift. They were using their gift. They weren't just sitting on their gift. They were moving in their gift, and it was such a powerful thing. They saw many people come to know Jesus because they simply decided to say yes to Jesus and use their gift. But what happened was the governor had heard what they were doing. And then he said, hey, I want to hear Paul and Barnabas. I want to hear what's going on. And so he sent out for them, and Paul and Barnabas came. And but Elymas, a sorcerer, like I said, Paul and Barnabas got in the room and Elymas was there, what happened was Elymas was saying, hey, don't listen to these guys. You shouldn't be listening to them. He was trying to not allow the governor to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say. He didn't want the governor to accept that faith. You see, when you use your gifts and when you move in your gifts, God is going to use you to reach one more, period. It's part of the mission. And I think one of the dangers that we run into today is we have the mindset to, not only are we afraid, but we're saying somebody else will do it. Somebody else will move in their gift, so I don't have to. We have the mindset, if someone else will do it, then it's possibly, if we have that mindset that someone else is going to do it, then it's possible that it will never get done. That it's possible that God has placed you in your workplace for a reason. It's for you to use the spiritual gift so that the mission of God would be furthered. It's possible that you're in that workplace and you're the only chance that someone has to hear the gospel. And God wants to use your gifts to do it. And if we have the mindset of someone else will do it, then it's possible that it will never get done. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas, you don't see that they had the mindset of someone else will do it. Someone else will go on this missionary journey. They knew it had to be them. The Holy Spirit sent them. You see, I think it's even possible that you attend the Gateway Church today because the Holy Spirit sent you here. That you're not here by accident, but you're here on purpose. And guess what? You have a purpose in this church. And what we find out at the end of Acts 13 and in this story, because of the way Paul and Barnabas were deployed, the governor ended up accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior because of the gift of teaching. And when you read Acts, this chapter 13, 12, it says, when the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. What does that tell us there? That when you use your spiritual gifts, what's going to happen is people are going to become astonished on how God is being glorified in that. That he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord, and he became a believer. You have a gift. And guess what? You have a gift that you can use here at the Gateway Church and outside the Gateway Church. Why is this important? Why invest the time in discovering your gift with clarity? Why investing the time in developing your gift to its capacity? Why take the time to develop your gift with humility and selfless service to God and others? You want to know why? Because 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church, and he gifted the church so that the church could carry out the mission of God. The mission is the why behind the what. The mission is what adds purpose to discovering your gift. The mission is what adds purpose to developing your gift. The mission is what adds purpose to deploying your gift. The question isn't, do I have the gift? The question is, what gift do you have? The question is, how am I using the gifts that God has entrusted me to use? And I'd say the biggest key to discovering, developing, and deploying your gift is to simply stay connected to him. Because when you stay connected to him, good things happen. You can go ahead and stand with me today. Like I said, I think everybody in this room has a gift. Young, old, there's no junior Holy Spirit, some people say. God has gifted everyone in this room. The key is to stay connected to him. So if you could do me this real fast, I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. I want you to examine yourselves a little bit. Ask yourself, do you know your gift? Do you know your spiritual gift? And if you'd say, I do know my spiritual gift, ask, how are you using that spiritual gift? But maybe for some in this room, you're hearing this today, and you're like, if I were to really examine myself, I've had a hard time staying connected to God. Maybe you'd even say, I know my gifts, but I haven't been developing them or deploying them. I've just been sitting. If you'd say, Pastor Sean, I've had a hard time staying connected to God. I've had a hard time understanding what God wants me to do. If you'd say that to you, I've had a hard time staying connected to God. Can I just see your hand? I see hands, yes, all across. Amen. You can put your hands down. And secondly, I want to ask another question. You'd say, Pastor Sean, I don't have a hard time staying connected to God. I have a hard time knowing how to deploy my gift. I have a hard time moving. I've been sitting too long. And Pastor Sean, I'm confessing, I need to move in my spiritual gift. If you'd say, Pastor Sean, I need to start moving. I need to use the gifts that God's been giving me. Can I see your hand? Yes, even more hands going across. I love it. You can put your hand down. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, during this song, we're getting ready to sing the song with you. And it says that, it says lyrics like, I am consumed with all you are. I'm consumed with everything that you have within me. Not only does that include your gifts, but that includes your lifestyle as well. It's every part of you. So I'm going to ask you, during this song, if you feel comfortable with it and you raise your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you to put movement to your steps. I'm going to say, during the song, come find a spot at the altar and start getting consumed with God. Start getting reconnected with him. Start saying, God, how can I use my gifts? And just take this next moment in this part of the service and say, you know what? I'm going to worship him with everything I have. I'm not going to run outside these doors, but I'm going to take a moment and just be with God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for today. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that when we're connected with you, Lord, you use us. Lord, you use us in the church. You use us in our mission field. And God, that you deposit things in us. And we don't do it because we don't worship you because of gifts, but God, we worship you because we want to be consumed with you. And so, God, I pray during this worship song, God, that you just meet us. God, that you'd speak to us. And God, that we would just have a moment with you, Lord, that lasts a lifetime. God, I pray you'd even convict us of not moving in our gifts. And God, that you'd give us creative ideas on how to use our gifts. God, we give you the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and move forward if you want to come up to the altar. We're going to sing this song.
This is where it starts. That's in our worship. It's in our response to the God who gave us everything that we give back. There's a phrase that's really common in the church at large throughout history. And it says, it's a Latin phrase that says, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi, which means that the way that we worship, the reason why we come here, the way we lift our hands, the way we sing together, the songs that we participate in, the way we participate as a church, that it shapes the way that we believe, and that ultimately will shape the way that we live. That coming here, it's not about spectating, it's not about consuming, but it's about remembering who we are. That we were made to worship, that we serve a God who has given us everything. And so in return, we offer up our gifts. And that's both our gifts here on earth and our spiritual gifts as well. And as we worship, as we lift our hands to him, he transforms our hands. That as we leave this place, as we go to our Monday 9-to-5, that our hands are no longer used for work, but now our work becomes our worship to our God. And the same happens here. That our gifts aren't for ourselves, but are ultimately for him and for others. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you gave us everything, that you gave your life for us. And so, Lord, we offer back our talents, our gifts, our passions, our pains, our proficiencies to you, Lord. We lay them at your altar, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that we've received, our earthly gifts, Lord, that make us good at our jobs, that make us good at school, Lord. We, first of all, offer those things to you as a gift. That instead of us making that A, instead of us making that promotion or getting that raise, it's ultimately to serve the one who has called us. Lord, let the way we live be shaped by this moment, how we worship. And Lord, we also offer up to you our spiritual gifts. Lord, that you've given us gifts to exhort others. Lord, people with the gift of discernment, people with different passions, with hospitality, Lord. And we thank you that we see those gifts here at the church, Lord. Lord, but it's not for us. It's for others. And it's ultimately for you. So, Lord, I pray for anyone here who's trying to discover what their gift is, that you would help them learn how they were made. And, Lord, help them discover the unique way that you've created them. For those who need to develop those gifts, Lord, that you would put people around them who are ahead of where they're going. People who can pour into them, Lord. That you would challenge me, that you would challenge Pastor Ben, Pastor Sean, Pastor Jamie, Lord, anyone here, our board and our elders, Lord, to step up and to develop these people, Lord, so that ultimately all of us can deploy our gifts to bring heaven to earth so that your kingdom come and so that your will can be done here as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, what you are doing, and what you are going to do. And I pray that we can pick up our gifts and leave this place empowered by your Holy Spirit to be your emissaries, to be your ambassadors to a lost, hurting, and broken world. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Because the way we worship
shapes the way we believe, which shapes the way we will live. So, Lord, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is good. And I believe that those of you who prayed that God will answer your prayers, but go in God's grace. We will see you next week. And for those who are staying for Get Connected, hang around. We're going to turn over the kids' room as the kids are exiting, and I can't wait to discover your gifts with you today. But go in God's grace, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.